So if I'm seeing something in my child, how do I know that it's an emotional thing that I have to fix, or if it's something physical, spiritual, like
it's both
kosher, or
it's
or
both. Anything that Hashem shows you is a sign for you to work on something. Everything. You're walking in the street. Everything that you see is a lesson.
So this specific thing, it could be an emotional thing in me and another external thing. That
yeah. Especially when you're talking about your kid and your husband. Anything that you see a fault in your husband or in your kid, it's two things. A, there's a problem in you. B, there's a problem in the husband or the child that needs to be fixed. Now, you can in some way tell your child what to do. You see a fault in your husband and you're going to come to your husband and tell him the fault straight to your face, you can expect a big fight. Your husband is not going to take from you, maybe he is. If the husband is in a very high level and you're going to come and tell your husband, listen, you know, you're not going to pray every day in a minyan. Ah, I'm busy, the business, I can't do it, leave me alone, you're not doing this. That's the reaction you'll get. That's what most husbands will do. So the thing is that when you see a fault in your husband and you're judging him and you're annoyed with what he's doing, instead of being annoyed with what he's doing and judging him, take a stop, click the pause button and say, wait a minute, this problem is in me. It doesn't mean that it's 100%, but it could be in a refined way that it's in you. And sometimes it's very, very refined. You just have to figure out what it is. But anything that you see, even in your kids, you have it in you. So Hashem is so kind to you that He puts a lot of mirrors in front of you. The reality is that when you see the mirror and you don't like what you see, you turn around. I don't want to deal with it. Yes?
So practically speaking, because I'm going to leave soon, I would very much like to work out some kind of practical, something to shake up on myself, to refine myself. However, I've learned today that it's likely that my meat is not kosher. I'm not halal Israel, and I can write a book about life of a BT. So like having all that into consideration.
What's a BT?
About Shuba.
Okay.
So having that in consideration, there's so much going wrong, it's very difficult to pinpoint root to the problem. How do I work out of here with something concrete to work on?
Then something concrete that you want to work, in 2 weeks we're going to celebrate Pesach. And most people now are going fanatic and cleaning their house. So you clean yourself. The whole point of this holiday, everything that we do in the holidays that we celebrate, and all the things that we do, everything. You're asking where to start?
I could start by Olive Israel milk. I could start by...
Yeah, so you decide what's easy for you.
There's so much. If you're starting
from
a good place, then you're not doing anything wrong. You're starting...
I'll tell you where to start.
No, but it sounds like there's a whole lot.
No, I'll tell you where to start.
You're just cleaning house.
I'll tell you where to start. When Avraham Avinu left Haran, that's what it says in the Torah, that Hashem told him, leave your land where you were born, leave your neighborhood, and leave your home. Three levels. The whole concept, again, when I said before that the Torah is not stories. Yeah, you read a story, but there's something beyond the story. So when the Torah is talking about how God told Avraham Avinu to leave Arzecha, Moladecha, veBet Avicha, your land, your surrounding, your community, and the house of your father. It's three levels where I'm trapped in. My land, my community, and my own home. If you want to deal with things, you first deal with the things that is most close to you, not with the big things. So if you want to start cleaning things, then you first clean the things that the most nogea to you, that is most close to you. Now, the best way to do it, you make a list. You make a list and you're saying, okay, what are my faults? I have an issue with anger. I have an issue with jealousy. I have an issue with this. I have an issue with this. You have to be true to yourself. You have to do it with yourself. You take a pad and you write a whole list of what to do. Then you're writing a whole list of what you do in your level of Avodat Hashem. I'm not particular with praying. I'm not praying once a day. I'm not particular with meat and dairy. I'm not particular with this. You make a real list. Now you have, okay, a whole list of things that you have to start working on.
Is the claim connect the dots now?
Now you don't connect the dots. You start cleaning your chametz. You're saying, what is easy for me to start doing today? Okay, you know, it's easy for me to start praying once a day. It's easy for me to start keeping Halav Israel. It's easy for me to start doing this, this, and this. You can't do everything in one shot. You have to see what's easiest to you and what you feel is most nogea to you. Some people say, you know what? I feel that what's most affecting me is this particular thing. If you want to be practical, like I said, you take a notepad, you write all the problems that you would want to fix. problems that you want to fix in your own thing. Anger, jealousy, animosity, grudge, all these things. Then you do your own avodat Hashem. What you're lacking. Then you write all the problems that you don't like with your husband, in your relationship with your husband. Then you do a whole list of what you don't like with your relationship with your kids. And then you do each individual kid. You're going to come now with a roadmap of 2 years of work. Now, you say, you put it by priority. What's the highest priority here? Is it working, like, if you make a list with the kids, what is my priority? Feeding them kosher food, getting them off the internet, not letting them watch all sorts of things that are not educational, what I want them to watch. You see priority. You can also see which kid, what it affects what. You can see with your husband, what affects your relationship. You kind of make an analysis. And if you really don't know where to start, then you start with what's easiest for you. So you're saying, you're taking a whole list and you're saying, well, what's easy for me? First of all, you have to internalize the thought that you're saying, okay, I've gone to the point that I want to make a change. If a person is not willing to make a change, nothing's going to work. A drug addict that doesn't come to the point that he understands that he's a drug addict and he has to go to rehab, he will continue being a drug addict. An alcoholic, anything. If you have to come to the point of saying, okay, I'm now in the place in my life, I'm willing to make a change because I'm not happy with this, 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 and this. If you want to understand if you're happy or not, make a list and you'll see where you're holding. That's why I said before, you weren't here in the beginning. Take now a notepad and write all the things that make you unhappy. And you probably will come to 3-4 pages of things that make you unhappy. And you have to be honest with yourself. And then you start working on it. Now, it's not a two-day thing. It's a process. And you want to include your husband in it. And you want to include your kids with it. And you have to do it very smart. Now, the woman is much smarter than the man. Man is practical. Women are smart. So you want to control the situation. Man physically might be stronger, or he goes to work. But it seems like the husband is in charge. The husband is not in charge. A smart woman knows how to... I was about to use a different word, but navigate is a very good word. A smart woman knows how to control everything. So if you work on yourself, you can kind of control the house. A happy woman, a calm woman, all everything kind of comes with the woman. And the kids will be happy, the husband will be happy. Men are kind of stupid. Seriously.
What is stupid?
Men. Kind of, you know, they're very easy to control. No, I'm saying facts. So you can be very smart. So if you want to be practical, you make the easiest way is to make lists. If you can, look for somebody that inspires you. It can be a rabbi, it can be the rabbi's wife. Somebody that you can come and say, listen, this is how I want to get myself better. I want to be more refined. I want to be in a much higher level. I want my kids to have a normal life. I want to have a beautiful relationship with my husband. I want to have parnasah. I want. If you might make a list of all the things that you want, you can also compare. Then make an I want list. And then from the I want list, with all the things that make you sad, you can start, like you said, you're connecting dots. You make a whole list of what's annoying you with your husband, then you make a whole list of what you want with your husband, then start connecting the dots. Now, again, it's not an overnight thing. It's a process. And the reason why I said before with the thing with Avraham Avinu is because first you deal with the things that are most close to you. Then you deal with the things that are around. So the things that are most close to you is your own self. And then it's your husband and your kids. And you're starting to going one by one.
So is that what humility is when you're hearing all this and you realize, like, I know absolutely nothing and it's big, like so much bigger than me. And I'm going to do what I can, but I can only do what I can.
You do what you can.
Is that humility?
I wouldn't say it's...
You just realize, like, oh my gosh, this is like...
I wouldn't call it humility.
Figure it out? There's just so much?
No. Don't say I'm never going to figure it out. Why won't you figure it out?
Meaning, like, when there's one thing to work on here, but you don't know really which thing is going to work for what, so you kind of are just doing everything and hoping it works.
No, so that's the wrong attitude. It's the wrong attitude of saying, I'm just going to shoot to all directions, let's see what happens.
But that's what it sounds like we're doing. Like, okay, well, I'm going to, if I do all these things, I'll keep all this around, I'll do this and do this and do this, it'll all eventually fall into place. I don't know which one's going to work for which kid and which thing and which that, but
so
if I do it all,
so if you want,
everything will be okay.
So if you want the emergency treatment, first you have to clean, that's almost, what I'm saying is, imagine you're walking into a room and the room is completely upside down. And you get overwhelmed. How am I going to start fixing this entire room? So first you say, okay, let me move the big things away. Let me move things out of the way so I can see what's going on. Then I'll start making clear sedel. So first you move things out of the way. So you look. You have to see in your life, what are these big things that you have to move out of the way? One of the biggest things is kosher. So you're saying, okay, kosher is one of the big things. Let me master that first. Let me work on my kosher. Let me make a list. Let me go one time. I'll buy a book, I'll go to a class, let me master that. So you start moving things away. If you want to clear a room, you have to first get the clutter out. So first get the clutter out. Now when I said to her, it applies to everybody. You have to find somebody that inspires you. You have to have a rabbi. And if you don't want a male rabbi, because you can't relate to a male rabbi, find yourself a rebbetzin. A woman that inspires you and that can guide you. If you don't have a guide, you can't make it. You cannot make it. Any person...
It makes such sense, because I get it. What you're saying is basically, you start, you do small steps, maybe stuff that's easier for you, and then you'll be able to eventually connect the dots. Just like working out. If you want your body to look amazing, you're going to go with a personal trainer, you're going to eat better, you're going to do 50 million things to make yourself look good. Just like that, this is so much more, and that's why we're still living, is because we all have so much to work on that you should just take on little things, and it's going to take like years and years, but eventually...
Not necessarily.
I mean,
you know what the thing is, that if you open,
it's not going to be overnight.
Overnight for sure, no, but I wouldn't say years and years. The thing is that when you open one channel to God, mm-hmm. then God already gives you all the information you need.
But there's so much, like what you were saying today, and I understand, you know, there's just so much to do and so much to take on. And sometimes I feel like if we take on so much right at once, you kind of revert backwards.
You can take it all at once.
Exactly.
That's so why I said you move the clutter. You start focusing on...
Right, it's just a bigger picture, and I think it takes years, at least for me, because there's so much to work on.
As long as you're on the right path, and you proceeding, the thing is that when you make your list, mm-hmm. you're going to see how many channels you have to work on. So I just said two things. I said, for example, kosher and family purity. It can be seven things. You know that I'll give you one thing that I wanted to talk about, and maybe we'll have time maybe later, or maybe, I don't know, we'll do another class. One of the basic things that a woman has to concentrate as much as she can is prayer. Women have to pray. And anyone who comes and tells you that women are exempt from praying is not true. Open Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't matter, Ashkenaz, Faradi, a woman has to pray once a day. A man has to pray three times a day. A woman has to pray once a day.
That's halacha?
Halacha. In Shulchan Aruch.
Anytime?
You can choose whatever you want.
It has to be
either Shachris, Mincha, or Ma'ariv. You have to pray. Anyone who comes now and tells you, no, you're exempt, I'll give you exactly the source in the Shulchan Aruch that it says, a woman has to pray once a day. She's not exempt. Now the thing is that it's not about the have to. How I told the lady before there, our commendation, if you would understand and internalize what happens when you unite yourself with God for 10 minutes every day, you would find that 10 minutes. You go and do yoga for an hour, you go and meditate for half an hour, you do all these things, you can achieve that in 10 minutes of praying.
Wait, say that again?
10 minutes of praying.
Get that inner core strength.
I told yesterday the chiropractor that what's the point, what's the spiritual thing of praying? Why do I have to say the same thing every day, three times a day? Why? The same way that you have the chiropractor adjusting your back? Praying is a spiritual chiropractor. You adjust your soul. And if you don't go it, your soul is all... That's it. This is praying. It's a spiritual chiropractor. Now you see that in the prayer... You have 18 blessings. I'm talking, when I'm saying pray, I'm talking about 18. Now, if you do mincha, so you do ashrei, you do 18, and you do Eleinu Shabbach. That's all it takes. 10 minutes. Ashrei, 18, and Eleinu. You want to take it to the next step? So say korbanot before. You want to take it to the next step? So say tachnun. But the thing is that when I'm saying pray, I'm talking about 18. With the sidur. Now, if you look, there's 18 18 prayers, 18 brachot. Our spine has 18 bones, 18 vertebrae. The same way that the spine holds the entire body, all the nerve system goes through the spine. One little movement in the back, the whole body is messed up. Same thing with our spiritual structure. We have 18 parts of our spiritual spine, and when I pray, I give a spiritual chiropractor to my soul. I align myself. That's what it does. And not only that, what I do, I open all these spiritual channels that all this abundance that God wants to give me, now it comes flowing. So now it's easy for me to figure out what are the things I have to work on.
Is it better if you read Hebrew but you don't understand every word?
In prayer you have to understand what you're saying. You do it in English.
In Hebrew, the way you're describing it, almost like the adjustment, it seems like the actual Hebrew words, even
it's better.
If you understand it, it's better.
No, but in prayer, you have to understand what you're reading.
Only if you can understand it.
The only thing...
Even if you're reading it in English, it doesn't really mean so much.
Exactly.
It's almost better to do it in Hebrew.
No, but you have to understand.
I don't really feel...
Jennifer, if you have it transliterated, like I use one, so when you dive in, if there's one word you don't know, you look up and you see,
exactly.
Oh, this is what it means. Okay, move forward and keep on reading in Hebrew. You know Baruch Atah, you know those words. The ones that are a little bit more complicated, you just look down or look up and then you see what it means. And then you can...
Ultimately...
Let's say I've done that. But if you're in a rush...
Do it in English. You have to understand what you're reading.
Doesn't seem like it would have the same effect.
So if you are ready in the level that you understand that it doesn't have the same effect, then take your time and learn Hebrew. Yeah, you're right. Hebrew,
right.
Hebrew is the right way to do it. But the if you don't know Hebrew, you have to understand what you're reading. The only prayer that you say in Hebrew, even if you don't understand, is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's what you have to say in Hebrew. But if you don't understand the Hebrew, Shmona Esrei, you have to read the words in English. And the same way that if I'm now going to offer you a job that you're getting $1 million a month. You want the job? Of course I want the job. Okay, the job is to run a business in Brazil. You have to learn Portuguese. Any normal person will take the time to learn the language to get the job that pays him $1 million a month. So you want to be hired to be working for Hashem, you take the time to learn the language. Not you, I'm saying in general. So you want to pray the right way? Yes, you learn Hebrew. But it doesn't mean that if you learn English, it's, you didn't pray. You have to, in prayer, you have to understand what you're saying. The only time where you don't have to understand what you're saying is if you read Tehillim. You don't have to understand what it means. You just read it.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's better to read in Hebrew and not understand one word than to read in English.
That's what I was going for. Okay.
That's in Tehillim.
I know, and that's
but
why
prayer,
I've heard that before, and I guess... Okay.
Yeah, but in prayer, you have to understand what you pray, and if you really want to tap into your source, you find 10 minutes a day that you close the door and you pray once a day. So Shacharit, I understand it's a lot. It's long. You have kids. Fine. So do Mincha when the kids are not home.
Can you do a short version of Shacharit?
Better to do the right version of Mincha. Mm-hmm. Well, it all depends what you mean by short version of Shacharit.
Like Brachot, Ashrei, Shema.
Yeah. Yeah, Shacharis is always the best. If you can do that, then better to do that. But the problem is, a lot of women, what they say, they start with the short version, and then they start shortening the short version. So, it all depends on you. If you can handle a short version of Shacharit, you have to... Yeah, then do that. But the thing is that a woman really connects to her source, to her essence, is if she prays every day. And if you take it to the test, pray now every day for a whole month, you see her functioning different. Because a woman is naturally sensitive. It's women are connected to their source. If you're looking in the Sefirot, women are in a much higher level. They don't have to do much. They have to do a few mitzvot, that's it, they're connected. Men have to work on themselves all day long. So one of the most important mitzvahs a woman has to do is to pray. So if you, but the thing is, what you started saying, of course it's a process. It's a long process. The process is your entire life. But you know, if you don't get on the track, you're never going to get to your destination. You have to start somewhere, and you, like I said before, you have to start clearing the clutter.
But I think she's talking about the fear of, like, you know, you added davening, then you added Kriyat Shema. You're like, how much more am I going to, like,
You have the fear to become fanatic.
Not fear of becoming fanatic, but fear of...
It never ends.
Right, and what is my life going to look like?
So don't have that. That's the Yetzer Hara coming and telling you your life is going to become miserable because you become fanatic and you can't going to eat this and you can't do this. That's the Yetzer Hara coming and telling you, don't do it, you're going to become fanatic. Don't do it, you're going to lose yourself. What's the problem with most people when they come closer to God? Their Yetzer Hara, their ego is telling them, don't, no, you're going to lose yourself. When I became religious, 2 years, you know what stopped me from becoming religious? Because I was like, I don't want this. I don't want this. It's not me. I don't want to lose myself. It took me 2 years to understand that little things that are very external are not changing me. My essence will never be changed in the external part. So it took me 2 years to figure out that the costume and these little things, it's just an addition. It doesn't change me. Dafka makes me better. Makes me more refiner. Makes me really happy with myself. I'm satisfied with myself. I'm happy. I'm good. How many people can actually tell on themselves, I'm real happy with myself?
But then how do you adjust for, like, for example, I'm here, I should be at work. They're calling me from work. You need to come to work. You have things to do. How do you know when now it's time to be at work, now it's time to be...
Good balance.
How do you figure out the balance?
One of the ways, there's two ways of figuring it out. An indirect way is when you're making a lot of connections to God. And one of them is praying. When you meditate 10 minutes, praying is meditating. 10 minutes a day you pray, you close the door, you shut the phone, you meditate for 10 minutes. It's a time that Hashem gives you all the data that you need to. It's downloaded into you. Things are clearer. You see things clear. Why did I start with kosher? Because kosher, the Arizal, he says that anything that is not refined in kosher directly affects the balance in your brain. It's called timtum ha-sechel, that you're not, like you said now, how do I know? This how do I know originates that my mind is not centered well. If I do a good combination of kosher and praying, I'm centered. So I see things very obvious.
So two things to start with.
Yeah. So the thing is that you want to get to a point that your body is centered with your soul. That's the basic teachings of Kabbalah. Center yourself. Izun. And two things that you want to loophole. The indirect way is praying and kosher because it makes your intellect straight. So you see things right. If you want to do it in a direct way, you either find yourself a mentor that meets with you once a week or talks to you or knows you and tells you, okay, start working on this. Start working on that. And you annoy him or her with a list. I have students that come to me with a list. I make them make a list. Don't call me every day. Call me every 2 weeks with a list. And we'll go one by one. So sometimes the direct way, if you can figure it out yourself, some people can elevate to themselves to a point that they don't need somebody to guide them. They get it. God is willing to give you everything. He just tells you, call me and I'll give you all the answers you need. Call me when you pray. Call me when you follow my laws. Call me when you talk to me. You're driving now in the car. Shut the phone for 10 minutes. Put the music down. Talk to God for 5 minutes. This is called Hitbodedut. You're talking to God. Hashem, help me. How do I deal with this issue? You talk, you say it out loud.
I was going to say, you say it in English out loud?
You can say it in Yiddish. You can say it in any language. God knows all the languages. The concept of Hitbodedut is that you're meditating on a problem and you're talking and you're telling Hashem, this is my problem.